Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian, Matt,
and Bonnie.
You can bring up whatever is on your mind here, whether you want to discuss Elon Musk and his offer to purchase the company of Twitter and turn it into a private stock company rather than its current status, which is a publicly traded company. He did say something. I was just kind of reviewing his tweets, and he responded to someone saying that he does plan on keeping private shares when the thing goes private. If he gets the deal and the thing goes private, he does plan on keeping private shareholders. So he says to the maximum extent allowable by law. And I don't know what the differences are on that or whatever, but
wait, what does that mean? There are people right now that are private shareholders?
No.
Oh.
So when you take a company public, it then becomes anybody in the world can buy it. They don't have to ask permission first, whereas a private company, you can still sell shares in a private company. It's just you get to approve who the shareholders are.
But you said he's going to keep private shareholders. So what does that
mean? That's what I meant. What I meant by that is he's going to have shareholders still with a private Twitter. He's still going to allow people to have shares in his company. That's the idea. How many of them, I don't know. I don't know what the rules are on how many you can have or what those limits might be.
No idea. I know that if you are going to buy more than 5% of a publicly traded company, you have to declare it.
Right. Yeah, and he did that last week or whatever. So going outside of the United States here, you can comment on that. We talked about ghost guns and Bitcoin and psychopaths. But El Salvador... this is a story from MSN.com and reporting, actually, the New York Times, on Nayib Bukele, who we've had some commentary on here. He's the president of El Salvador. He's this guy. He wears a backwards baseball cap. He's 40 or 41 years old, so relatively young for a president of a nation. And he's supposedly this, like, real hip Bitcoin guy. Well, guess what? He's also an authoritarian
psycho. What? He's a politician?
Yeah, here's what happened. The most recent thing. After a dramatic spike in killings over a single weekend last month, Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele's reaction was swift and extreme. He sent soldiers into poor neighborhoods to round up thousands of people who he claimed were gang members, then paraded them in front of news cameras in their underwear and handcuffs. He tweeted pictures of detainees who had been bruised and bloodied by his security forces, suggesting that they, quote, maybe fell, unquote, or, quote, were eating fries with ketchup, unquote.
What?
They were bloody.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, what's wrong with this guy?
And he started feeding the nation's prisoners two meals a day instead of three, warning that if violence continued, quote, I swear to God, they won't eat a single grain of rice.
So all prisoners, not even just the gang members?
Yep. And there's...
alleged gang members?
There's a lot of people in these prisons, by the way. It's one of these southern, you know, Central American, South American countries that is known for overpopulated prison facilities where you've got... I was looking at stories about this last week. You've got 90 people in a cell designed for 30. One of those kind of situations, like severe overcrowding. And they literally just added thousands more in one fell swoop. It's a distinct look for Bukele, who's been focused in recent months on presenting himself to the world as a modern tech innovator on a quest to turn El Salvador into a cryptocurrency paradise. Not only is he now embracing the monoduro techniques of past Latin American leaders, he is going much further, using the homicide spree, which left 87 people dead in 3 days, as a pretext for suspending civil liberties and attacking the press.
Wait. Sorry, the homicide spree that left 87 people dead in 3 days, who did that?
The ostensible gang members.
So, okay.
Could it just be that the government did that so that he could crack down on civil liberties? I mean, false flags are a thing.
Absolutely. In recent days, Bukele and his loyalists in the Legislative Assembly ordered a state of emergency. And we all know what that means. It means they do whatever they want.
Yep.
Right. That restricts freedom of association, suspends the norm that detainees be informed of their rights at the moment of arrest, and denies prisoners access to lawyers. Suspects can now be held for 15 days without any charges instead of the previous restriction of 72 hours, meaning the vast majority of the recent arrestees haven't even seen a judge. Congress also authorized prison sentences of up to 15 years for news outlets that disseminate messages from the gangs, a vaguely worded statute that press freedom activists fear Bukele will use to crack down on his media critics. And remember, we've talked about Bukele before in reference to what happened surrounding the legal tender status of Bitcoin in the country, where right around the time when that law was being put into effect, he went and he snatched up one of his critics with a police contingent that decided to arrest this man basically for no reason whatsoever. They ended up turning him loose because they didn't really have anything to charge him with, but just to try to intimidate one of the critics of the Bitcoin bill. They just arrested him and trumped up a bunch of, a waste of his time, essentially.
He's Bitcoining wrong.
He sure is. Ruth Lopez, the anti-corruption director at the Central American human rights organization Cristosal, she says the rise in homicides shouldn't be a justification for the total suspension of rights. Since he took office in 2019, Bukele and his congressional allies have steadily amassed more power. They've seized control of the Supreme Court, and which we've talked about that before with Bukele. We were aware of that situation that happened, I believe, before the Bitcoin thing. That was one of the things that some of the critics who, when this dude was getting all this attention from Bitcoiners, like, oh, a politician, he really likes us. This politician likes us. Somebody pointed out, this dude stacked the Supreme Court with his people so he could get a second term in office, because they previously had term limits on the president in El Salvador of one term. Not anymore. And so that was one example given of why this guy is bad news, and now there are more. He replaced the attorney general with one of his allies and removed hundreds of prosecutors and lower court judges, a purge that Human Rights Watch has said left, quote, virtually no independent institutions capable of overseeing the executive branch. So whatever checks and balances they'd had in El Salvador, he's wiping them out. Bukele would use the spate of homicides as a pretext to further consolidate power is no surprise to his critics, who believe he may be preparing to stay in office past 2024 when he's supposed to step down, even though El Salvador's constitution bans consecutive presidential terms. But they also say there may be another motive for his new tough-on-crime stance, diverting attention from the deepening failure of his cryptocurrency experiment. And I don't know if they mentioned it in this story, but he was supposed to appear at the Bitcoin convention that just happened in Miami last week. There's this huge Bitcoin Miami thing that went on. I don't know how many thousands of people were attending this, but it was a huge thing. He was expected to speak there. He spoke there last year when he announced the Bitcoin legal tender thing. That was where he kind of revealed that. And so he's supposed to come back, right? Like, give us an update, or there was some sort of thing that he was going to announce about the Bitcoin, what's it called, the Bitcoin City that they're going to be building down there. I don't know what they call it. There's another name for it, but he didn't show up. He actually sent a notice saying that he had to deal with something in El Salvador that needed his attention.
He had a new president, dictator things.
He wasn't clear on what exactly that was, but it was at the same time that they were making these arrests. So I guess the suggestion was that, there's all these really important arrests that I have to be involved in, even though he's the president. Obviously, he's not going to be doing that.
Did he cancel the day of that he was supposed to be there? Or
pretty close. Right before the event started, he sent notice he wasn't going to be able to make it. Didn't even bother to make a recorded statement. From what I understand, just sent a letter. So maybe they're right here saying that he's trying to divert attention from the what they're calling failure of his cryptocurrency experiment.
When you try to centrally control something, that is not designed to be centrally controlled, you're going to have problems.
What are you saying? The Bitcoin crypto?
He's forcing people to take it as the natural currency.
And use his app. And
yeah, well, yeah, they have a government app. And he could force people. It is in the law that they could, but they haven't supposedly been doing that.
Right.
But that could change. Yeah. There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. More on the crackdown on human rights in El Salvador. And you can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live.
When your body succumbs to an infection, the protein lactoferrin is likely running low. Lactoferrin exerts a broad-spectrum defense against bacteria, fungi, protozoa, and viruses. Lactoferrin binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as boosts antiviral interferon production. Stress, poor health, and undernutrition will exhaust your own lactoferrin production, leaving you vulnerable. So while you may already be taking vitamins A, D, and zinc to build up your immune system, when you increase your lactoferrin, your immune system immediately gets stronger. There is only one effective and convenient dietary source of lactoferrin, and it's whey protein that has never been damaged by heat. Green Meadow Whey is the only grass pasture whey protein that has never been damaged by heat. I ask the question, is unheated whey protein concentrate as good or better than ivermectin or HCQ? Results indicate a strong maybe. To learn more, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net.
Hi, I'm Al Averroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, phones open, you can join us here, 603-283-6160. We're talking about the tyrant in El Salvador who wants all the Bitcoiners to think he's a real cool guy.
Well, not.
If he thinks you're in a gang, you get arrested and don't have access to a lawyer. You have up to 15 days that you can be held without charges now under these new the new state of emergency. And they're also rewording some legislation that may allow people in news media to be punished if they can accuse them of, quote, disseminating messages from the gangs, unquote. We'll tell you more about this here in moments. Again, Ian, Matt, and Bonnie with you. We're going to go to the phones and your calls and thoughts. Bad Slave is on the line here. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live calling from New Hampshire.
Thank you very much. Yes. I'm really glad to hear that. One of the things I wanted to bring up was, you know, Mark and his ZA whatever program.
ZA stands for Special Economic Zone.
And I think, you know, if the guy who's running El Salvador is the same kind of tin pot, you know, dictator that... that would be running, was it, Guatemala?
Honduras.
You're saying Mark is a tin pot dictator, and that's what he wants?
No, the one that's running Honduras is what he's saying, which is where Mark wants to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mark wants to go to an island that is north of Honduras, but technically still part of Honduras. But I guess his idea is that it's far enough away from the mainland to where the mainland won't be a problem, that there's, like, no cops or anything like that, so he thinks they're going to leave him alone.
Ha!
I kind of have the same exact reaction. Bad Slave. I don't do that on the air, but when I talk to Mark in person, what I say is, ha!
Yeah, I'm skeptical.
Yeah. Hard pass.
I mean, it's just silly. And oh, there he is advertising, you know, more than once or twice even, you know, during a program. You know, to I think probably redirects a few people who would might be good Liberty people here in the Free State Project, and nah. I'm just not pleased.
There's always an outside. Who would have thought the Free State Project would have had any effect in New Hampshire a long time ago? So, and it has significantly. And
I thought it would. That's why I moved here.
Right. A lot of people looking inside from the outside said, you know, that's lunacy. That's never going to work. Hmm. But clearly it has. And there's a bunch of people who did, you and I included, Bonnie. And, but so, you know, you never know. Wacko bird ideas sometimes grab, and all you need is a lot of belief that it's going to work and putting in the sweat equity. And Mark Edge is the kind of person who can do that type of stuff. So we'll see.
Go ahead, Batsley.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I moved in 1991, and, you know, I had a small, you know, cabal of Liberty folk that I, you know, was connecting with, you know, starting out with Jack Schimmick back in the day. And, you know, one of the things that Jack did was he made a trip down to, what's a little tiny Central American country there?
There's a ton of them.
The one that speaks English,
one starts with a B. I'm forgetting the name.
Anyway.
Belize,
thank you, Bonnie.
Belize, yeah. There's the town.
Yeah,
yeah, he actually drove his old Mercedes mm-hmm. all the way from New Hampshire to Belize and spent a couple of months down there or something like that. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's still here. And you know, I just, you know, Mark is in a fantasy world with regards to the Zetas. I'm just disappointed. I've always really, really liked Mark. I've known him for, you know, almost as long as you guys have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, what's the matter with Mark? I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, just can't stay in one place or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never gotten that feeling from Mark. He never really seemed to be that sort of flighty butterfly type. But that said, I understand where you're coming from. Bonnie, were you trying to say something?
Well, first I wanted to ask Bad Slave, where did you move from? I thought you were a native.
I moved just over the border. I was up in the Worcester area.
Massachusetts.
And I also wanted to say, I really like Mark, too, and I wish he would just want to stay in New Hampshire. But I think his thing is that our studios keep getting raided by the FBI, and the idea of you and all your friends going to jail just because you believe in free speech is a scary thing. So he's trying to think of a solution.
That's valid.
Yeah.
Well, it is valid. You know, to me, you know, I think there's plenty within our own general court here in New Hampshire that can be done about just completely taking the legs out from under any federal enforcement activity.
Well, I mean, I definitely appreciate your optimism there, but we saw what happened with the first crack at an independence
piece
of legislation. Yeah, it was the first crack. There were only 13 people that voted for it. But the thing is, Mark's in a rush, right? Like, he feels like he's getting older and time's running out for him, and he feels like he needs to do something now to achieve more freedom. I get where he's coming from. I understand his frustration. I don't agree with you know, his conclusions that he's made. I don't think he gave the Free State Project enough time, honestly. I think he expected way too much out of it too soon. But to be honest, or to be fair to Mark, he would never have moved here if Free Talk Live hadn't moved here. I mean, he only moved here because he followed the show up here. He never would have come up here on his own volition. So as much as he's a likable guy and everybody, you know, people like Mark, he just wasn't really the right person for this movement in the first place. So he didn't have what it took.
You know, I think it's pretty negative to try to interfere with other people.
Well, I don't think he's interfering. I mean, he's competing, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with competition.
Well, he's always putting us down.
Well, he's doing that less now. He's doing less put-downs. He's focusing more on, I think, building a thing now, and that's a good thing. I think he's finally figured out what he wants to do. He spent the last half decade looking around the world and traveling to different places and trying to choose where he wanted to end up. And honestly, Bad Slave, I don't think it's a big threat to the Free State Project. I understand your concerns about that. You don't want him to siphon off some activism.
But I don't think that's likely.
I don't think he's likely to get many people to move down to a small island with less than 2,000 or 3,000 people on it. There's, you know, not even a grocery store.
The people who he does aren't going to be the people who would have moved to New Hampshire that has four seasons.
Right. That's the point that I wanted to make on that. Thank you, Bad Slave, for the call. The people that are likely to come to New Hampshire are not going to be interested, I don't think, most of them, in moving to this very small island in the middle of
it. It might be great for Liberty people who love the tropics.
Small community, very small.
If you have the ability to work from home and you want to live in a very, very small place, then maybe you want to go there. If you want to join the largest movement.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Black nationalist in the New York City subway shooting will undergo a psychiatric evaluation following his first court appearance. 62-year-old Frank James appearing in court with two federal defenders and will be held on a permanent order of detention on terror charges. He's also waiving a preliminary hearing. The Pentagon believes something did happen on a Russian Navy ship.
We do believe that there was a significant explosion on this cruiser, the Moskva, of the Slava class of cruisers in the Russian Navy.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby saying the explosion caused a fire that continued to burn aboard the ship this morning, and at least some of the crew members evacuated it. Ukrainian military says its forces fired an anti-missile ship at the Moskva and that it sunk. USA Radio News. Elon Musk wants to buy Twitter, and he believes it can do big things. He says the social media giant can be the platform for free speech around the globe. As far as what he wants to do with Twitter, Musk telling a TED Talk audience in Canada,
I do think that we want to be just very reluctant to delete things and have just be very cautious with permanent bans. You know, timeouts I think are better than sort of permanent bans. It won't be perfect, but I think we want to really have, like I said, the perception and reality that speech is as free as reasonably possible.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is signing a 15-week abortion ban bill. The Republicans said it's important to defend those who can't protect themselves. He also said every life was important while praising parenthood as something he wouldn't trade for the world. This is USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. The phones are open here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, you've got Ian,
Matt,
and Bonnie.
We're going to get back into the story here about El Salvador. Did you guys feel like you said everything you needed to say about the whole Mark Edge Free State Project competition situation? I imagine it's going to come up again as Mark continues to develop whatever it is that he's putting together down there, and inevitably is going to start promoting it. I'm sure Bad Slave will be happy about
it. I hope it works out.
That.
I mean, there's potential there.
I do, too. I hope that it works out because I want to see Mark happy. You know,
yeah.
I want him to find a place that he feels good living.
The only reason that there's this idea that there's some kind of, like, back and forth or fight between us is because Mark keeps attacking the Free State Project instead of just promoting his thing. There's room for both. Nobody would be saying anything negative about it if Mark wasn't saying negative things about the Free State Project. But as you said, he has backed off.
Well, even if he weren't attacking the New Hampshire migration, I would still be critical of what he's doing, just simply because I am just not of the belief that the Honduran government is just going to turn a blind eye to a bunch of, you know, Bitcoin-rich people showing up in their territory. And
if they were smart and they wanted prosperity for their people and their place, they would totally allow that to happen, just turn their blind eye. But they're
government.
Freak show government people.
Well,
and
Mark has a lot of answers for that, and he usually kind of convinces me that's probably not something that's going to happen. They're probably not going to roll in tanks for, well, probably
they,
not.
They can't really roll in a tank very easily. It's an island, and it'll be hard to,
well, whatever,
hard to do that.
They would roll
but
in.
But they could have troops or something like that they could come in with, for sure.
But my biggest criticisms of it, since we're talking about it anyway, mm-hmm. are more just, I don't want to live my life like that, like a small island where there's like a few places to buy things.
There's like one restaurant or something.
Yeah, no, I would not want to live like that. It's awful. And also, I think it's kind of hedonistic to just say, I'm going to go live my life on an island and have a good life myself. Screw what everybody else on Earth is going through and their human suffering.
Is that hedonistic or narcissistic, to go back to our conversation from earlier?
It's definitely hedonistic to just say, I care about the pleasures of myself and don't care about the, you know, the troubles of Earthmen, other than me.
Earthmen.
But, I don't know, Mark might be a narcissist. Do you think so?
You'd have to ask him that question.
Well, you asked the question, so that's why I said it.
I'm just asking.
No, I've seen Mark be very, very, very caring and giving. And
no, there's no doubt. He's a good guy.
He's a very good dude.
For sure. And I think he's doing this for his reasons, which are not necessarily the wrong reasons. And there may be other people who have the same reasons.
And like I said, I don't think of all narcissists as a bad thing, so I'm not saying anything mean about Mark. I really like him.
So the number here is 603-283-6160. You know, it's funny, we were talking about El Salvador. I've got more to that story. I also had the story about what's going on in Honduras. There was some news about that recently, and I don't know if I've got it handy, but it was basically about Bitcoin being announced as the sort of official currency or the legal tender. Here it is, in what's called Prospera, which is right next door to where Mark wants to set up his thing. So Mark was originally looking at this Prospera thing, and he decided not to join it for some reason.
Roatan?
Yeah, Roatan, which is the island next door to where Mark is. That is, and I can't speak for him. I don't remember all the details, but I think it was like a personality issue with whoever the guy is that's running the Roatan thing.
Yeah, but he didn't like the land, too.
Okay, I don't remember that detail. I mean, Roatan's larger. There's like 20,000 people or something there. There's a lot more to do, that kind of thing. So it's a much bigger place.
It was like there's less to develop or less for sale. I don't know, something like that.
I don't think that was it. I think he just didn't want to be a part of this Prospera. Anyway, Honduran officials announced April 8th the country will now accept Bitcoin as legal tender, but only in the special economic zone called Honduras Prospera. As reported by Crypto Slate in late March, the Central American country of Honduras signaled its intent to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. At that time, the president said neighboring El Salvador might not be the only country to free itself from the dollar hegemony. However, then the central bank walked that back, if I recall correctly, and said they had no intention of adopting cryptocurrency. However, they are only announcing it for the special economic zone, Honduras Prospera. It was established in 2020 as an economic development hub to attract investment in entrepreneurial opportunities. Located on the island of Roatan, about 65 kilometers off the northern coast of Honduras, it boasts a tropical climate and a burgeoning infrastructure with plans to turn the area into a futuristic enterprise paradise. And I remember when Mark was telling me about Roatan, he was very excited about it for, you know, a time. Mark's kind of like been jumping around and going to different places for the last half a decade, and this was one of them. And he said that apparently Roatan is English-speaking.
Mm.
It kind of has like an interesting history as a pirate island, where that's where the pirates were located down there, like one of the spots for pirates. So like a lot of the things on Roatan are named after pirates and things like that. And so there's apparently a lot of English speakers who go there to retire and, you know, expatriates that go there to live. So it's an interesting place to start one of these special economic zone experiments. It is the first of many planned development hubs in Honduras to follow the Prospera blueprint. Such projects may push the adoption of Bitcoin as legal tender across Honduras as new development breaks ground. The Honduras Prospera official said the zone's fiscal and administrative autonomy enables crypto innovation and allows for the use of Bitcoin by all entities established there. Now, really the question is, how far along is this Prospera? I mean, because, you know, when I first heard about it, it was just a plot of land that was completely undeveloped. I mean, how far have they come? Have they built residential areas? Are there business districts? I mean, what are they trying to do? The way these
and why do they need to allow people to use crypto? That's what I'm confused about, if this is like some free society.
Well, the difference, of course, being in a free place, anything would be allowed in theory. But with companies or whatever, they feel more comfortable when there's some sort of a legal structure, when you can say, Bitcoin is legal here. Mm-hmm. See, we have a regulatory structure that says it's okay to do Bitcoin things here. But they say here Roatan is still in the early stages of development and has not even built their first residential units. The elephant in the room, they say, is that Honduras Prospera is geographically small within Honduras and is not the country itself. Statement by the Central Bank of Honduras points to friction amongst the country's chain of command. As a result, the central bank says it cannot back cryptocurrency, and activity of this type is solely the individual's responsibility, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we hear more about Prospera, we'll certainly let you know about it. And maybe next time Mark calls in, we'll ask him why he didn't just go there and set up on that island, because it's much larger. As I said, there's a veterinary clinic, there's restaurants, there's a variety of things for people to do.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. There's no vet on Utila. I'm not going to be able
There's nothing on Utila. I mean, hardly anything. There's just a couple thousand people.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to take coconut there and he accidentally eats a sea urchin.
Yeah, I mean, you've driven through towns in New Hampshire with a couple thousand people and you just blink and it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing there to speak of. So that's the latest there from Honduras. It looks promising, looks interesting, and we'll definitely keep our eyes on it. So back to the story about El Salvador, where Nayib Bukele is cracking down on using what they call mono duro techniques. I think that basically means heavy-handed.
Oh, I was wondering what that is.
Spanish. That they're cracking down on so-called gang members, and that they're putting them in prison for up to 15 days without charges. These are overstacked prisons already with way too many people in them. And they're doing this all under a so-called state of emergency. And they say, the critics say they believe he's doing all of this, the president down there, to take attention away from what they're calling his failed cryptocurrency experiment.
And it could also be a million other things that are going awry there that... really does. The Bitcoin thing doesn't seem that big to me down there.
Yeah, and it's easy to call the Bitcoin experiment a failure because, well, the price of Bitcoin went down immediately after, basically, he set up the scene down there. And it hasn't really recovered since that time. So from a financial perspective, it looks bad on paper. But we all know that if you hold on to Bitcoin long enough, it has a tendency to come on back.
It does.
And reach new records.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What is the difference between collagen protein and a whey protein? Pure collagen is an incomplete protein that supplies amino acids which support connective tissue repair. However, what determines most of the connective tissue synthesis in the body is the level of growth hormone. Children have wrinkle-free, plump skin and agile joints not because they're eating collagen every day, but because they have high levels of growth hormone. Low growth hormone levels results in wrinkles and diminished connective tissue health. Consuming collagen does not overcome this. Cold sterilized whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows is a complete protein and supports connective tissue health as well as glutathione production, immunity, detoxification, combats inflammation, supports muscle size and strength, energy, fat loss, and more. Connective tissue health is dependent upon proper nutrient levels, how clean the cellular environment is, and optimal levels of growth hormone. To learn more about a true fountain of youth protein powder called Green Meadow Whey and how to support youthful levels of growth hormone, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join us here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the crackdown in El Salvador. Nayib Bukele, the dictator down there. Oh, no, no, no. He's a president. He's been elected. Well, he's also stacking the Supreme Court to try to overrule the Constitution, basically, and allow him to have a second term, because he's constitutionally not supposed to be doing that. But he might just get away with it. Critics say that they believe that Bukele is rounding up people that are... He's simply accusing of being in gangs and putting them in prison cells for up to two weeks, 15 days behind bars without any charges, not giving them access to attorneys, and cutting the food at the prisons from 3 meals a day to 2. Just because. Probably because he doesn't have the money for this.
And right.
A ton of people locked up right now.
El Salvador is in a perennial hellhole with, you know, bad supply problems and stuff.
And it could be that this experiment with Bitcoin becomes this amazing success. And I really do hope for them that it does, for the people of El Salvador, not because I care about El Bukele or whatever, but I, you know, because the people of El Salvador, for the most part, not so wealthy. right? Like to actually have the opportunity to get into Bitcoin, to have easy access to it. They, you know, to the credit of the government, there are hundreds of Bitcoin vending machines all around El Salvador. The government's wallet sucks, and the system that they've created is no good, and they're trying to force it down people's throats, and so they went about this the entire wrong way. But if some people get into Bitcoin who hadn't previously because of this, and they end up being successful with it, then that's going to be a good thing for those folks. We'll see how it all plays out. Bukele's war on suspected gang members, according to the New York Times, began last month after three straight days of intense killing. Officials said 62 people were killed on the second day, making it the country's most violent day this century, March 26th. The gangs down there, which emerged in the 90s after the U.S. began deporting thousands of immigrants who had been convicted of crimes, have long preyed on society, extorting payments from small business owners in many regions. So they sound like the government, basically. In 2018, the country averaged about 9 killings per day, a significant drop compared with just a few years earlier when there were as many as 17 homicides a day. And that's a country of like a few million people, like 6 or 7 million. Under Bukele, that average fell to around 4 per day. He's credited his so-called territorial control plan, a security program whose details he has never revealed. But investigative journalists and U.S. officials explained the dramatic reduction of homicides differently, saying his administration has simply negotiated with the gangs to bring down the killings. U.S. Treasury Department recently announced sanctions against his vice minister of justice and a top presidential aide for cutting a deal with the leaders of the MS-13 gang. Sanctions followed reporting from investigative news site El Faro that revealed evidence of the pact, including prison reports from covert meetings between officials and gang leaders.
Wow. I wonder what kind of an agreement.
Apparently a secretive one. They're somehow getting these gangs to agree to
kill less people.
Kill fewer gang members. Bukele has denied those claims vehemently. Many in El Salvador assume the explosion of violence signaled a breakdown of the truce. In the ensuing crackdown, the military has set up checkpoints in poor neighborhoods, and police have been ordered to stop and frisk anyone they suspect. And
oh
more than 6,000 people have now been arrested by security forces.
Wow.
Bukele claims they're all gang members, and given the country's history of gang warfare, a large segment of the population appears to have little problem with his tactics. Because you know how the tough-on-crime people are here in the United States. Those people exist everywhere.
No cases.
They don't care about rights. They don't care about stop and frisk. They support things like that. I saw some woman...
Like Dan from Nebraska.
Sure, but also people on the right wing as well. The tough-on-crime people...
They're everywhere.
Tough-on-crime people are on both the right and the left.
Yep, statism.
And we know it doesn't work. But human rights activists say the arrests are indiscriminate, with many innocent people being swept up and their basic rights to due process denied. Yeah, I mean, if you happen to look like a gangster, you're going to get arrested.
I mean,
they don't need evidence.
People's rights are being denied just by the guy saying to the police, stop and frisk anyone you suspect.
Yep. In the nation's capital, families have gathered outside detention centers every day waiting for news of their missing loved ones. Quote, my son had never been detained and never had any problems, said one woman waiting outside of a police station known as El Penalito this week, who asked not to give her name because she's afraid of government retaliation.
Of course.
Her 20-year-old son was arrested, well, also the gangs.
Yeah,
same thing.
Probably both gangs.
Yeah. Her son was arrested March 27th in a raid on their town just miles west of San Salvador, which is the capital, and she hasn't heard from him since. Quote, he and my daughter sold fruits and vegetables where we live. He just went to work and came straight back to the house. People from my church have been collecting money to help me. You think they would do that if my son was a gang member?
Right.
Mm.
The crackdown has left many young people in poor neighborhoods wondering whether they might be arrested next, said Pastor Pedro Gonzalez, who asked parishioners at his church in a working-class neighborhood in the capital to write letters that male members could show security forces, explaining that they're Christians.
This is scary. What if they're just trying to round up all the males right now so they can do something really bad to everyone?
Yikes.
Quote, almost the whole church has offered to sign letters, so when they get pulled over by the police, at least they'll have something to show. I don't want to be silent, said Gonzalez, the pastor. He says, and I'm not going to say everyone who lives in gang-controlled communities is a criminal. So that's what's going on right now in El Salvador. Checkpoints.
Bastion of freedom. El Salvador.
Yeah, well, you say that, Bonnie, and that's because the president down there is trying to position his administration as some sort of freedom-loving system. And the opposite seems to be the case. But if you read his tweets, if all you believe is what this man says, and there's a lot of Bitcoiners who've fallen under his spell, it's just, we're waiting for some charismatic politician to grab them by the hand and lead them to Bitcoin, what are they calling it, Bitcoin City or whatever, this new thing they're pushing down there.
Important that you said Bitcoiners and not libertarians. Not all Bitcoiners are libertarian.
That's true. Yeah, and that's a really important point. A lot of the people in the Bitcoin community these days, they don't understand liberty. They don't care about freedom.
Nope.
They don't even know about the principles that Bitcoin was born out of.
No.
Are you saying they're psychopaths?
Well, I don't know them, but I would say this about them, that they are just in it for the money. And a lot of us...
Never go up.
Yeah, they want the number to go up. They see it as an investment, right? They don't see it as something that's going to change the world or reshape finance or empower the individual. Or
I think they actually hinder it by not using it in trade. They're probably not speeding up the increase of its price in the first place. They're sitting on it.
That's true, and that is what they advocate for. It, by the way, is just buy it and sit on it. HODL is what they say, and. And you're right, Matt, to not use something as a currency that was intended for that means that it's not as valuable as it otherwise would be.
Yeah, but who cares? There's already Bitcoin Cash that works better anyway. Even if Bitcoin was worth a dollar, it would be a success. Even if it was a steady worth a dollar, not forced to be.
Mm-hmm.
If that's just what everybody took it as, what the market saw it as, it would be a success.
It would be hard to say that, given that it's now at $40,000, so it would be down from $40,000 to $1. I don't know.
No, I don't mean if it went there. I'm just saying if it always just stayed that way.
Are you saying if it hit $1 and didn't go any higher?
Yeah, it'd be a success.
Yes, you're correct about that, because it would have come up from zero and was
No, I'm not even saying because number went up. I'm saying because it can do what it was intended to do. It wasn't intended to just be a thing.
You're saying if people were using it.
Yeah, people getting rich was just an icing on top of the cake. The cake is that there's a peer-to-peer cash system that people can use to not have to use the dollar.
Well, there was, and then they ruined it by not actually expanding the network to allow for more transactions.
And that's why I mentioned Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, Bitcoin Cash is certainly able to handle more transactions in any given what they call block. But Bitcoin Cash sometimes has real slow block times, and so does the regular Bitcoin, too. It's supposed to happen every 10 minutes, roughly, that there's what they call a block mined onto the blockchain. Not to get too technical, but the blockchain is the public ledger that's behind Bitcoin. That's what sort of the magic, some of the magic is. So there's the crypto aspect of it, and then there's the blockchain aspect of it. These are the two magic ingredients that make this thing work. Decentralization is also really important, and distributed data, but... The thing is, because of the way the mining is, sometimes you might be waiting a half an hour for a block.
Yeah, with Bitcoin Cash, it's been giving me problems recently.
So
just when I open like my Edge wallet, Bitcoin Cash is the last one to finish loading and tell me what my amount is. Okay,
that's
I like Dash.
That's probably more an issue with the Edge's server than it is with Bitcoin Cash in that case. But yeah, Dash has four times the block speed of Bitcoin Cash. Dash has finality that's irreversible. They've got protection against 51% attacks. Of course, Monero is super private, and those are two of my favorites. We'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online between now and then over at freetalklive.com. We'll look forward to seeing you on our social media platform at social.freetalklive.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.